Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm wrapping up today's daily editorials with an update from trader Vic Sparandio. I know one of a number of our guests' favorite, or a number of our listeners' favorite guests. Trader Vic, I want to follow up on an article that you wrote more or less at the beginning to mid-April time period. The title being Perspective on U.S. Economy and the Coronavirus, Suicide is Not Painless. Break down your thoughts on how this coronavirus has damaged the economy, the U.S. economy, and what you think it all means for us moving forward.
Yeah, I wrote this in early April in the blog called A Curmudgeon. It's been around since the 90s. And the mid-1990s. And he publishes basically whatever I want to say. So it's something where we're almost associated. If I want to write something, he'll publish it. But basically, when I saw this originally occurring, now, I'm trained in economics, by the way. I have virtually an economics degree. And basically, I understand much of what makes the world go around. In my mind, I've been pretty successful at that over the years. 55 years of now in Wall Street and 52 years of trading. And basically, I saw that when you shut down an economy, you're going to get this horror you see in front of you. It is a horror because people are, you know, have been put out of work without the ability to make a living at a moment's notice. Usually, when you have a recession, you fire people on a slow but steady basis as business slows down. This was all at once. So this was suicide. This was, you know, this was not a slow death. And that's why I called it suicide. But the key here is that you're now officially, in my book, in a depression. Now, let me tell you what that means. It means, using Keynes's definition of a depression, is that you will trend under what the trend of the economy was. So if we had from 2008, the end of 2008, till a month ago, or until 2 months ago, you had a 2.3% growth rate. This is adding on Trump's elevating the GDP growth. It was about 2.1 under Obama. You will start now to trend at 1%. Now, this is over the long run. The in-betweens, the quarterly, this quarter you're going to be down 40%, okay, for the second quarter. But in the third quarter, you're going to be up 20%. So there's a lot of volatility because they annualize those numbers. So you're really going to be down 11, and then you're going to be up 5. That's the predictions by CBO. I wouldn't say they're right, but they're a good guideline. So the point is, I believe there's no such thing here. It's a fantasy to say a V recovery. There's no way you get a V recovery. If you go down 90% in, for example, retail sales, and you go up 20%, what really has happened? You're down 70. You see what I mean? There's no V recovery here. Can't look at these percentages per se and suggest a V recovery. It's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be an L recovery. Now, you know, meaning go down and then go across the page, and then slowly bounce. And I do think there'll be a bounce in the fourth quarter and to some degree in the third quarter, but it'll be very, very small in relative terms. Not, you know, don't use these percentage terms like it's going to annualize up 20, they're going to say. First of all, I don't think it's going to be up 5 in the third quarter, maybe up 2 or 3, and they, of course, they annualize that multiplied by 4. So my point is that that's one thing to understand. This is a long-term problem that has been self-inflicted by governments around the world, that need not have happened this way. I mean, people would argue with me and say, well, you want to kill people. No. You want to look at the Asian model. And I'm amazed and shocked that more people have not used the Asian model instead of killing the goose. We've just killed the goose. And what I mean by the Asian model, if you look at, I'm going to use Taiwan for an example, it's got 23.8 million people. That's 20% more than New York. It has 6 deaths, and it has under 400 cases. Why? Why? They didn't shut down anything. Why? Because they wear masks, and when you're sick or you don't feel well, they do testing. They don't test everybody in the street. They test you. If you're not feeling well, you will get tested immediately. Because you're tested immediately, they then would say you should stay at home, which is common sense, and that's what they do. And they also attend to you, meaning they give you vitamins, they give you immune system boosters, they do things to you to help you, and they keep you away from other people. So, but it is the masks, in my view, because if you look around Asia, Thailand, South Korea, Vietnam, in Vietnam, they have no deaths. There's not, almost 100 million people, 97 million people. And they have under 300 cases. Why? Well, if you went to Vietnam, now they would quarantine you. Originally, they wouldn't, but they would quarantine you for the last month. And then if you didn't wear a mask, they would arrest you on the spot. They would take you to the airport, and they would deport you, or they would put you in jail. Either one. If you had your passport handy, they would take you, and you'd leave immediately. So the masks are critical in preventing the spread. This is a very contagious virus, obviously. But it is not a deadly virus if you compare it to Ebola. So my point is, you could have chosen, if you were a leader of the world, different alternative and had a different outcome. Japan, they stayed open until they said, well, we're not going to have the Olympics because nobody will come. And then they, in sympathy with the rest of the West, because this is somewhat orchestrated, they closed down, and they just opened back up. They were closed down for about a week or two. I mean, and they have virtually, I think, 46 deaths or so. I mean, there's hardly any. Now, there's 126 million people in Japan. So all I'm saying is this was a choice of leaders. I think Trump made a very bad choice in opining, or let's say he didn't make the choice to close down the states. Those are the governors. But he didn't object to them, and I think he did that for political reasons. But the key is you've killed the goose. So you're in a depression. You're not going to get a V. These are things that, you know, I'll stand behind. You're going to get a bounce, but you're not going to get a V recovery. And you're going to have long-term unemployment in the teens for a long, long time. It could be as high as 25, but it's going to be in the teens for years. And the key to, you can look at Japan and pull up, you can Google this, and you'll see their economy and how it bounced up and down, but it was in a very narrow range. You'll get something that very similarly looks like that if you look at their long-term GDP growth, meaning it's very, very low, probably nets one over a decade, which is what I'm thinking we're going to wind up in. So with that, I'll pause.
So Trader Vic, okay, I understand, and I actually agree with you that I think that any sort of an economic restart is going to take a while. I don't know if it'll be potentially as bad as you have outlined with that whole L-shaped recovery. But let's look at it from an investment angle, because what this shutdown has done, yes, it devastated the economy, but now we have governments, central banks, they are printing money to no end. They're resisting, or some are resisting, going into negative interest rates. But some of that money obviously has landed in the markets, because the markets, as much as they try to be forward looking, well, the market has bounced back fairly strong in some sectors at all-time highs. Where's the disconnect here between your outlook for the U.S. economy and what the markets have done recently?
Okay, well, you're not at really all-time highs. I mean, NASDAQ is up for the year, but it's not at an all-time high. But
some
neither
sectors,
there.
Though. There are some of these COVID stocks,
okay.
some of these sectors.
Okay, yes, true. All right, well, okay, the problem with that is what is that scenario, and let's separate this. One is the stock market, one is the economy. But let me tell you why my scenario, I believe it will come true with a bit more of a context. You have 30 million small businesses in America. They hire over 50% of the workers. Now, when you're putting money in the system, those people are not getting the money. As a matter of fact, still, I mean, most of the people I know have not even gotten that $1,200 check that they promised in America, where you're supposed to get $1,200. And I know people in New York who filed for unemployment 7 weeks ago, never got a check yet. But neither here nor there, half, in my view, half the small businesses in America will be gone permanently. So even though you're putting this money in the system, which is helping the stock market, and it's helping, for example, the airlines, where they're giving them $25 to $50 billion, depending on how they're structuring that. I think half is a grant and half is a loan. That's going to help them subsist, but it isn't going to bring them business. And if you have just effectively negated 50%, or you can use 25 if you want, you're talking about 10 to 15 million small businesses. Somebody I know here in Texas owned 5 restaurants. He fired 200 people. He's closed. He's gone. He'll never come back. He'll never open another restaurant business again. This capital is gone. It's been lost, and it's dissipated. Now, if you think about this, and, you know, I just ask people to put this in perspective. When you open a small business, on average, think about spending $1 million. I mean, a restaurant, you have to buy ovens and chairs, and you put in, you rent the space, and you decorate it. If 15 million businesses are gone at an average capital expenditure of $1 million, that's $15 trillion is gone. You know, you don't get that. That's just, and it's permanently gone. It isn't going to come back. So that's why I say there is no question in my mind, I talk very confidently, that this is not going to come back in a quick fashion. You also have many people who've been fired, and you've got this Dr. Fauci on TV saying it's going to come back, meaning the virus will come back worse in the wintertime when viruses usually come out in the cold weather. They like cold weather. And basically, if you're a worker that now even survived this and didn't get laid off, or you're a worker that got laid off and then got his job back for some reason, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to spend? Are you going to save that for the next go-around? You've been shocked. You're going to save. You're not going to spend. Your lifestyle is completely changed. You're not going to go on an airplane. You're not going to go out to dinners as much. You may go out once in a little while. You may go to a burger place or a pizza place. But you're not going to go spend $600 dinners with $200 bottles of wine. Things have definitely changed. So that's why I say you're going to get an L shape with a blip. You're going to get a little blip in the third quarter, but it's only going to be a blip. Then it's going to subside again. Now, let me just mention quickly on the market. The market discounts the future. This is true. There will be an improvement. There will be a blip. This quarter, annualized, and you shouldn't use this number, is going to be down 40%. But it's really going to be down about 11%. The third quarter will be up 5% projected. I disagree with that number, but that's an official CBO government number. Let's assume it's true. That mean would be a 20% uptick. But then you go to the back to where I'm saying you get this initial little burst. People have been shut in. They want to go out to dinner. They had something to buy. They go to the store, or they, you know, don't go online just to get out. Things will improve a little bit. I'm not saying it won't be 5. It could be, in more my opinion, 3. So times that by 4, it'll be a 12% increase in the third quarter. But the fourth quarter, of course, is Christmas season. That'll be stable with the third quarter, so you'll have another 2 or 3 in GDP growth. But you're just not going to get people spending the money because they're going to be afraid the same thing is going to happen. So I use the stock market here. It is way ahead of itself, and it is looking, it can look 3 months. It can't look 6 months. There's no way to project. You got the election coming up. You've got China problems. There's no way to project what's going to happen out 6 months. There have been books written that have been excellent that have shown that the market will discount quarterly earnings 3 months out. But there's nothing that's ever been shown where the market will project 6 months out, meaning in total. Now, you got guys like Warren Buffett that'll say, okay, I'm going to buy Coca-Cola for 20 years. But he's not projecting earnings out that far. He's just assuming the company's going to do well. You see what I mean? So I'm only saying that I think these are the critical things. You can ask yourself, the market is way, way ahead of itself, mainly driven by the tech stocks. I mean, many sectors are extremely weak. Some tech, things like Netflix, people stay in, Amazon has done well, but they are very few and far between, those type of stocks, if you will. So to me, you've got to be extremely cautious. Gold, I think, is going to do extremely well. I think silver will do less well, I mean, as a mover. But as you move out, you will get more inflation than you will actually get a substantial amount of growth. And the only reason I say that is you'll have less supply. You'll have supplies are going to be sparse. So you'll get prices moving up, especially in food. So you'll see some inflation in food prices.
Okay, one other quick comment here, Trader Vic. What about the U.S. dollar? U.S. dollar went on a run over 100 up to about 102, I think, and then it has turned back over, but still trading in this higher range.
Okay, the known as the universal relief valve, the whole world suffers mostly when the dollar goes up. And the relief valve has been to push the dollar down, and that helps all these, if you will, emerging countries. So because there is talk of a dollar shortage, most pros believe there is a shortage of dollars, so therefore the dollar stays strong because people have financed in dollars and they're going to refinance that. So if you push the dollar down, it helps all these emerging countries and secondary countries. It also helps our sales. It creates inflation. So the bottom line is, though, is if you push the dollar down, it makes sales of U.S. goods cheaper, relatively speaking, and therefore sales go up. So I think the Fed, because they have Kudlow on that team, he is a big bull of being he calls it King Dollar. He's a big dollar fan. So Trump has not taken that tactic. However, in my view, eventually, if the economy stays poor and this huge printing of money by the Fed to build up their balance sheet, which is headed to $10 trillion by the end of the year, if that doesn't work because that money is a loan. Remember, they're buying bonds. They're not giving it to people. They can't give money to people. They can only loan money to people. So if you're a business and the consumer has not come back and is not buying, you're not going to build productive things. You're going to buy stocks, which is what they do. But the key is, I believe that they will start to push the dollar down. That will make gold go to 2,500 if they do that. And when I say down, right now the dollar index is 99.35. If you see the dollar at 85, you'll see gold heading towards 2,500, over 2,000. So that's my prediction on the dollar.
All right, Trader Vic, we're going to wrap it up here. A lot to take in. And you know what? There's a lot going on. Unfortunately, not a whole lot of good stuff going on with the economy, but we'll see how everybody gets back to work or how people get back to work and what spending looks like. I'm with you, though. I think it will be very slow at best. Trader Vic, thank you very much for your time today. Have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Thank you.